Everyone, this is Onalaska City Council meeting, June 8th, 2021 at 6 p.m. This time I would like to call the meeting to order, the regular council meeting of the city council on June 8th, 2021. May I have the roll call, please?
Certainly, sir. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Mr. Robinson?
Here.
Mr. Tungo?
Here.
And Mr. Dudikoff?
Here. This time we have an oath of office for Police Officer Curran Chapman. We're pleased to welcome to Onalaska newly hired Police Officer Curran Chapman. Officer Chapman, if you...
Pledge of allegiance.
Oh, I missed it again. Okay, well, I pledge allegiance, sorry. Sherry Coleman will lead us.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Something about that, I miss it every time. Just jump right over that. Sorry about that. Item number four, we have the oath of office. We're pleased to welcome to Onalaska newly hired Police Officer Curran Chapman. Officer Chapman, if you'll come forward, please, the city clerk will administer your oath of office.
You want to face me, Officer Chapman? All right. You want to raise your right hand and repeat after me? I do solemnly swear to obey the lawful orders of my superior officer.
I do solemnly swear to obey the lawful orders of my superior officer.
To abide by the law enforcement professional code of ethics.
To abide by the law enforcement professional code of ethics.
To support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the state of Alaska.
To support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the state of Alaska.
And to observe and uphold the laws of the United States, the state of Alaska, and the city of Onalaska.
And to observe and uphold the laws of the United States, the state of Alaska, and the city of Onalaska.
I accept as a condition of continued employment as a police officer.
I accept as a condition of continued employment as a police officer.
The requirement to at all times abide by the rules and regulations of the city of Onalaska and the Onalaska Department of Public Safety.
The requirement to at all times abide by the rules and regulations of the city of Onalaska and the Onalaska Department of Public Safety.
I affirm my allegiance to the people of the city of Onalaska who have appointed me as guardian of their lives and property.
I affirm my allegiance to the people of the city of Onalaska who have appointed me as guardian of their lives and property.
I take this oath knowing full well the responsibility of my office.
I take this oath knowing full well the responsibility of my office.
And I promise to act at all times with integrity, honesty, and honor as a law enforcement officer, so help me God.
And I promise to act at all times with integrity, honesty, and honor as a law enforcement officer, so help me God.
You are sworn in, Officer Chapman.
Congratulations, Officer Chapman. Okay. All right, our next item is the adoption of the agenda. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda?
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Robinson. Roll call.
Coleman?
Yes.
Tungo?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
And Bell?
Yes.
On a vote of 5-0, the agenda has been approved. Next item 7 is the city manager's report. Well, move around this way. Looking over there earlier. I'll turn it over to the city manager. We are in regular formation here, which is great to see.
Mr. Mayor, before we get to that, would you like to approve the minutes of May 25th first?
Oh, minutes, oh, sorry.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of May 25th, 2021.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, second by Councilman Tungo, to approve the minutes of the previous meeting, May 25th. Roll call, please.
Mr. Tungo?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
And Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
On a vote of 5-0, the minutes of May 25th, 2021 have been approved. Item number 7, City Manager Report. We'll turn it over to City Manager.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. The report itself is in your packet. I'm certainly available to try to answer any of your questions. There's one thing I'd like to highlight and bring to your attention. We continue to work out the details associated with that legislative fly-in. And Council will be invited to attend a lunch meeting on July 25th. And a breakfast meeting on July 30th. And those two meetings will be publicly noticed. We are also planning a larger community-wide public reception for the evening of July 24th for all community members to participate. So I just wanted to make sure that you guys had those, and we'll get you the times after this meeting. We'll shoot you an email with the schedule as it is at this point.
It.
And that's all I have for you.
Okay, thank you. This time we have any questions for the city manager. I'll go down my list here of Councilman Nicholson.
No questions at this time. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Councilman Robinson?
No questions.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson. Councilman Tungle?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I met a couple of guys, I guess they own some of those sub 2000 that came into town. Any information can you provide for us, please?
Yeah, so the Alaska Seaplanes, they've acquired the Saabs, and it looks like they're trying to make a go of it and to serve on Alaska. I don't think they're ready to reveal and, you know, discuss all their details, but they certainly were in town.
Great. Thank you, Councilman Tungo. Councilman Coleman?
I don't have anything.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Councilman Bell?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Councilman Bell. And I had no questions. We'll move on. The next item is item number 8, community input and announcements. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to council or to make announcements of interest to the community. There'll be another opportunity for comment near the end of the meeting. Does anyone wish to speak? Go ahead.
Hi, Roger Blakely here from the Parks and Recreation Department. Just wanted to remind everybody that our upcoming summer solstice run is going to be held at the Carl T. Moses Boat Harbor on Sunday, June 20th. Start time of the race is 7 p.m. 9 years to adult. We'll have, if you want to run with the little kids, the little children and kindergarten kids, we have a little short run prior to the start of the race. You can run with them. We want the whole family to come out. It's 2 miles. It's an easy run. It's a way to start out the summer. Come on, everybody. Let's go. Let's have a good summer solstice. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. They'll get their running shoes on. We'll be up there. All right, thank you. And Kirk, do we have any comments from people joining us by Zoom or?
Yes, sir, I did have one. Her name is Sue Noland. Ms. Noland, if you can hear me, your time starts now and you'll have 3 minutes. Go right ahead.
Thank you very much. My name is Susan Noland, and I'm Zooming in from Healy today. I'm in the process and working with the Native Corporation with the request of the city, or with the help of the city and also the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Board, to apply for a retail cannabis license in Alaska. The place that is being looked at, working with the Native Corporation, is adjacent to the old World War II hospital dispensary out on East Point Road. This is a very long process. We love to get involved with the community and answer questions very early on in the process. A little bit about myself. I'm a registered nurse. I've been in Alaska since 1975. I worked many years at Providence, flew a lot of medevacs. And I have three grandchildren, and I have two dispensaries, cannabis dispensaries. The first one I opened up in 2016, Alaska Fireweed, downtown 4th Avenue, Anchorage, Alaska. It was a very long process. I was one of the very first to open up within the Anchorage area. The second cannabis store I have is up in Healy, which is, you know, a small community like in Alaska. And I feel, you know, the importance and understand the importance to provide education and knowledge about the process in the cannabis industry. So my name is Susan Noland, N-O-W-L-A-N-D. My email address, if anybody would like to contact me or have questions, is snow, S-N-O-W-T-Z, at AOL.com. So you can tell I'm an old person. Anyway, if there's any questions, if this is an appropriate time, I can take a few and make sure we stay under the three-minute limit. Again, I'd like to introduce myself and hopefully going to be traveling to the community soon since all our COVID restrictions have been lifted, of my understanding. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else on Zoom or phone to call in?
Not that I'm aware of, sir.
Okay, thank you. Next item nine is the public comment on agenda items. This is time for members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda. If they don't want to wait until the item comes up on the regular agenda, to comment later during the regular agenda when a particular item is discussed, you need to sign up with the city clerk. Does anyone present wish to speak? No one? Okay. City clerk, are there comments, written comments, or people joining us by phone or Zoom?
No, sir.
Thank you. Next item is our work session. May I have a motion and a second to move into a work session, please?
Make a motion to move into a work session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, second by Councilman Tungle. Roll call. Well, I'll turn this over to the city manager. Well, roll call. Sorry.
Tungle?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 5-0 in favor, we are now in work session. 6:14, excuse me. Then I messed up. All right, now I'll turn it over to city manager.
Yes, thank you. Our public works director, Tom, works up the project update every month and staff meets to discuss it. Then the project update document itself gets loaded up onto the city website so that anybody interested can review it as well. Two times a year, Tom reviews the project update with city council with a special focus on our active projects, which is what brings us here this evening. And so with that, I'll go ahead and hand it over to Tom.
There we go. Well, thank you, City Manager. Like Aaron mentioned, we do this monthly. It gets updated, and we have a meeting internally the second Thursday of each month, and it's usually attended by like the finance folks, other directors, and interested people who have internally have an interest in the project. And then like she mentioned, it does get posted on the city website. So if any time you're interested in looking at it, it's available, and I'm always available to answer questions as well. So with that, let's go to, okay, thanks, Marge, you got it up already. So I usually put a few pictures on the cover of each of this. This one happens to be Sitka Spruce Park. You can see in the upper photo the basketball court's in, the gravel parking area is done. And then the bottom photo shows the gravel area where it's going to be a climbing apparatus installed there. Now, there was another one scheduled to go in the park, and it would have taken up too much of the green space, so there wouldn't be any grassy area for kids to play. And so we ended up making a decision, and it's being installed right now over at Kelty Field. So if you've driven by and seen an excavator and some earthwork, that's what's going on over there. Let's go to the next page, please. I just wanted to briefly point out that right now we have 39 projects that are underway, presently funded, and they're in various states of design or construction completion. But six of the projects were initiated in FY20. Four projects were initiated in FY21. And 12 new projects were initiated in FY22. So it's kind of goes up and down. If anybody has any questions at any point when I go through this, please, by all means, stop me. Okay, let's go forward a page, Margie, to packet page 13. So this is one of two pages that summarizes all 39 of the projects. I just wanted to point out under the project column, kind of on the right, you'll see where it's in red type there. It says close. The ALS mannequin project, we decided not to close that one out because there is some additional training that hasn't been completed, so we're going to leave that one open. But the public safety building, that portion of it is complete. There is a new project in FY22 for the public safety building itself. But I just wanted to mention that we're going to be sending back almost $55,000 that did not get used for the building assessment. And down towards the bottom, you can see the fourth waste heat recovery unit is going to be closed out. We'll be sending back to the electric fund over $600,000 on that project. Forward, please, one page. A couple more projects that we're going to close out. The rescue vessel engine, we'll be sending back to the ports fund over $24,000. And the airport terminal roof, we'll be sending back about almost $130,000. Okay, how about page 17? So this, the aerial ladder truck, this is really a cool project. And I guess we thought about putting on a rolling stock quite a while ago, but it breaches multiple years, and it's substantial in size that we wanted to call it actually a project, because it does in fact get built. It gets designed and inspected and constructed, but as we've done with all our other fire apparatus, we're sole sourcing through the Pierce Manufacturing Company in Appleton, Wisconsin. The estimated completion date for this fire truck is February of 22, and the one in the photo shows the aerial ladder mounted on the rear of the truck, but the one that we're ordering and got spec'd out, the ladder apparatus actually mounts in the midpoint of the truck. 100% prepayment has been made for the truck, and the price breakdown, if you would go to the next page, please. Okay, you can kind of see what the price breakdown is, but we ended up getting, because we paid the 100% prepayment, we got a $25,000 reduction in the overall price, and it still was almost $1.4 million. The truck itself is a little over 41 feet in total length, and it'll reach a top speed of 60 miles an hour. Hopefully they don't go that fast here. And has a 65-gallon fuel tank capacity. Three of the city employees are making three trips to Appleton, Wisconsin, and they've already made one trip. One of our mechanics and then two of the firefighters went down there, and they spec'd out the truck for the configuration that they wanted. They will be going down again at the midpoint of the build, and they're making a final trip down there at the end of the project to do a final inspection on it. And these trucks are actually really complicated. There's a lot of electronics on there, and gauges and piping and things like that. And so we're going to be, or at least we're looking at setting up a EVT class. That's an emergency vehicle training class, and host it out here. So more than one person will know how to operate this fire truck. Page 25, please. Sitka Spruce Park, I think we're all aware that Northern Alaska Contractors was a sole bidder. It was a little bit over budget, so Public Works did a lot of the demo to help bring the cost down. Like we noticed in that first picture, the aggregate surfacing is in the parking lot. The boulders and fence posts are installed in the parking area. And that site prep that you saw on that the bottom photo on the front page was actually where the new pirate ship is going to get set up. 53, please. Just a quick comment on the tsunami sirens. I know a lot of people have asked me about it. The form of contract was approved by Federal Signal. Resolution went before council on May 25th for approval, and we did issue a notice of award to Federal Signal, and so there we're pursuing the project. 57, please. It's the Captain's Bay Road and Utility Project. For anybody who's not aware, this project will construct drainage, utilities, that's water, sewer, and electric, pavement, sidewalk, and streetlights from Agnes Beach out to OSI. The sidewalk and streetlights are not intended to go all the way, only as far as westward where the majority of the pedestrian traffic is. We put together an 8-minute video on the project, and we submitted that to the state for the STIP. It's a state funding program, and we were turned down because the project size was much bigger than the budget they even had for the entire state over 2 years. So they had $50 million for 2 years for the whole state, but our project was at the time about $54 million. And I've been working with the state planner to, and they suggested that we phase the project. So we've been breaking it down to essentially six phases. Now, each of these phases might overlap with another phase, kind of depending on the progression of the project. But essentially, we're having safety improvements, which is primarily around Dead Man's Curve. There'll be a water line extension, electric extension, sewer extension, curb and gutter, sidewalk, streetlights, and then finally paving. And the state planner thought that breaking it out that way would have a really good chance of gaining some funding. In fact, this recent application to the STIP that I've been working with the planner on will be applying for a $2 million grant to construct the safety improvements, and they're looking for a 50-50 match. Some of you may have noticed that or gotten a public notice. It's a public notice of application for a permit. This came out from the Army Corps of Engineers to the locals here. They're looking for input from people, either for or against the project or whatever kind of comments you might have. And the closing date for comments is June 14th. And you can send them in by email, or you can mail it to the address that's on the public notice. We're also in the process of issuing the cost-benefit analysis for this project. I believe Council Member Coleman was the one that suggested we do that, and it's a great idea because we not only will help us determine which way forward on this project, but it'll boost our points. One of the questions on the STIP is, have you done a cost-benefit analysis? And so once we get the results of this RFP back, then we'll be able to say yes. Yes, we did do a cost-benefit analysis. Here are the results. And the next time we can apply for the STIP will be in late of 2022. And this RFP for the cost-benefit analysis is just about complete, and we intend to have this issued this coming Friday. Questions on the Captain's Bay Road project? Okay, page 81, please. The wind power development project, we're in phase three, which is data collection. There was an app we submitted an application to the Alaska Energy Authority for $1.2 million for design and construction. It was a two-part application. Part of it was for feasibility and conceptual design, and the other part was a final design and permitting. We had some feedback from them, and it looks like they are inclined to, or they're more favorable to the $139,000 portion of the grant application, which is a feasibility and conceptual design. We won't know the results of that, though, until I believe it's this fall. Yeah, the end of the summer is when they'll make their decision about that grant. And then the final wind energy report is kind of on hold until we find out if we're going to have get that grant or not. Page 101, please. The Pyramid Microturbine Project. This will help us generate electricity up at the water plant in Pyramid Valley. The construction window, because of long lead items, the construction window has been moved to between October 1st, 2021 and December 1st, 2021. Then the final completion date is set for December 15th, 2021. And the city of Unalaska did purchase the components, and they're delivered to the Industrial Resources Incorporated, it's IRI, their facility down in Seattle. Page 105, please. The General's Hill Water Booster Station. This project has been in over 10 years in the making, so we're really pleased to see this coming to fruition. A notice of intent to award was issued to Northern Alaska Contractors on April 1st, and it's pending council approval of their contract, which will go before you tonight. The resolution 2021-46, which is the resolution I just referenced, it will grant the city manager authority to enter into a contract with Northern Alaska Contractors for the base bid work. And then it'll also provide provision to enter into the rest of the work after July 1st. Page 113. A related project is the Pyramid Water Treatment Plant Chlorine Upgrade Project. And what this project entails is the removal of the existing chlorine gas system and an installation of an on-site chlorine generation system. In fact, the EPA standards call for phasing out the shipping and handling of chlorine gas. Since this does impact the microturbine project, we're trying to coordinate those two very closely. You may recall we recently had a budget amendment to move $300,000 from FY22 to this year so we could go ahead and purchase the equipment, which we did a vendor selection, and right now we're in negotiations with the vendor to get that material shipped. We've been working with our city attorney just today, off and on, but again today, to refine the contract language. And that's pretty much all I have, unless there's questions, comments.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Tom. I'll call the council in chambers first. I'll call Councilman Coleman.
Thank you. I'm looking for the museum. Give me a moment. Not that. Library. I get confused all the time. Don't know why. Do you have it? Sorry. Because you made a comment in here, and that's why I wanted to specifically address it. And I'm...
Are you looking for the page number?
Yes, sir.
I think I could find it for you. Here's the index in the front, so that would be on... Well, it's page 20 of the project update. I'm not sure what packet page that is. Yeah, there you go.
Oh. Do you have it? What number is that of the packet? 20. That doesn't help me. Okay, so I still can't find it. If you could scroll down. Okay, so you have a comment in here, bullet point. Mm-hmm. You says in FY22, staff will select a new architectural firm to rework the design to fit the original $5.4 million. So council approved $8 million for this. Mm-hmm. That's what's there for this. There has been, it was sticker shock, but we had a lot of discussion about it. We had a lot of public input about this. There has been a huge amount of public interest and input on the whole design of this. I don't want to go back to the beginning. I don't know how far you plan on revisiting the whole scope and the whole architecture of this, but people have already kind of spoken on this, and I really kind of want to move forward. I can see where maybe there's some areas. I know that Mr. Blakely, originally, before everything went south on us, that he was working with the people who won the bid to make some design changes to lower the cost. I don't know what... If that's what you're talking about is implementing, but I mean the whole design of this thing has already kind of been set, and maybe there's some aspects of it that could be rethought to kind of keep it within our amended amount. But I mean that's what we approved. So I appreciate the thought into like. But, I mean, I don't want to go back to the beginning on this. I want to keep moving forward. And if there's some aspects of the design that, like I said, that we can incorporate, maybe not a rounded wall or something, that could still bring function and aesthetics that is important in a library that the people have already decided that this is what they want to do. And so that's my thought. I really hate to see this thing start over from step one.
No, I appreciate your comments, and I could have worded that a little more elaborately rather than try to confine it to a bullet point. But during the process of the bidding and the selection of the contractors, we got to a certain point, like 90%, and we tried to bring on a contractor to help us figure out ways to reduce the cost or keep the cost low. But ultimately what happened, we were so far into the design that the contractors, the pricing was so high. So what we're looking at doing is not necessarily changing the design drastically, but we want to work with an architect to look at how we can put this project together, primarily the roof, which was really a huge part of the cost of this project. And as you might recall, the way the selection process was to pick that particular construction firm, there was another bidder that was much lower. So we brought on that one contractor based on the criteria of the way we set up the selection process. Their number was not the low number. In fact, their number was about $500,000 higher than the next low bidder. So we're looking at different ways to structure the bidding of this project and the design of it. And I didn't mean to infer that we're going to completely redesign the project, because that was not our intent at all. Our intent is really to look at how we can bring this project to construction without all these undue costs. And there were a lot of extra costs in there based in conversation with the contractor. And that contractor is a great contractor, don't get me wrong. We've worked with them before, like on the Aquatic Center, and they've done a lot of work here. But after the bids were open, they offered some pretty good ideas on how, if had we gone back to the like 35% design, they could have made some significant changes. But we didn't go out until 90% bid. And so I would like to restructure the way that was bid, and I think we would get most, if not all, of the design components for a much less price and fit that original budget. I guess that's really what I meant in that.
Okay, but you said that you're going to go, you're doing a new, whole new architectural firm for this. I mean, I guess I'm still like, that means you're doing a design, you're just doing a design change in order to lower the cost. But I mean, conceptually, is it going to be the same?
Conceptually be the same project, yes.
Okay. I look forward to seeing the new design.
Yep.
Councilman Robinson?
Yes, thank you. When you're doing that, I asked the question on that rounded wall. Mm-hmm. How much that additional, or how much it was going to cost? And the answer I got was nearly $1 million, $952,000. And I think that we need to really reconsider that and bring that back to a conventional wall. Right. That would cut the cost significantly.
Yep, agreed.
Councilman Tungo,
yeah. Comment? Are we redesigning the parking lot on that? I think we run into some problem of parking after the...
Are you referring to the library parking lot?
Yes.
There were some issues with that. I think during the process of trying to get the cost reduced, they cut out some features, which I didn't really agree with, but... Yeah, we need to revisit that whole parking lot area.
I think so. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I'll just make a comment on the library, too. I kind of echoed Councilman Coleman's sentiment, you know, that, you know, we've already gone through the process on it. However, I do think it is definitely worth taking a second look at this project since we have the opportunity to. And kind of look at it as part of the whole, as far as, you know, all the projects that are happening within the city and mm-hmm. and how that's going to fit in. And I have some more comments on that. But, yeah, I'm still in favor of moving forward on that project. Okay. So, thank you. Good.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Nicholson?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I'll weigh in on the library, too. That is a very spendy project. Just one quick question. Now, to tear down and to start new construction, wouldn't that possibly be a little less inexpensive than a lot of remodels? I mean, a lot of the larger grocery stores and stuff like that, they just tear it down and start all over. Any input on that?
I would have to defer to an architect on that. I can't really speak to that, although I know the roof components were a big part of the cost on this as well.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Any further comment or questions? Councilman Coleman?
And that reminds me, as construction costs and supplies have soared these last few months, do you anticipate any of our current projects coming over budget? I mean, just because simply of supplies that you are unforeseen back in a year ago that we've had, you know, just general supplies that you feel like it's going to be a problem.
I don't, and I've been in contact with some of the contractors for the projects that have been bid, and they're holding their prices with the exception of one project. And that project is the Trapper Drive, a storm drain project. So we had, there's a current project, it's called the Citywide Multiple Location Drainage Project. And we originally bid it out, most of it's complete now, except for the Trapper Drive portion, which is right up on top of Haystack. And in speaking with the contractor, we discovered that the storm drain was designed on top of the water line, which would mean then we'd have to move the water line. So I've been working with Reagan Engineering and trying to be creative, and I'll elaborate on that comp in a moment. But we're trying to be creative in order to be able to complete that project without a budget amendment. And so when I say creative, there were some catch basins and some pipe that would have to go in there, and we have some leftover pipe and catch basins at Public Works that we're looking at possibly donating for that project.
Thank you.
Do we have any further comment from council? Strong?
Yeah.
Councilman Bell?
Sorry, I'm trying to find the right page on this project. I guess let me just ask a few quick questions on the fire truck. The changing the position of the mounting of the aerial ladder, did that change the overall vehicle as far as its capabilities? And I see the fire chief back there saying no.
Yeah, I was going to say that would be a fire chief question.
I'll put a couple more in here while I get that up
was,
there.
That was the initial design. I don't know where they got the picture.
Okay. as far as warranty on this, I guess that speaks to the piece of equipment itself. And the other question that goes along with that is what engine's in there and what emissions, and do we have the mechanics here that can troubleshoot that, or is that something different than what our other vehicles have, and would we have to have other companies come in to service something like that?
Yeah, I have not had that specific conversation with the mechanics, but it sounds like you might be aware of some of the problems you've had with the ambulance and the emissions on there. But one of our mechanics who's actively involved in working on the ambulances with those particular problems is the one that went down to Appleton, Wisconsin. So I'll make sure that I ask that question directly to him.
Okay. And I had another one in there, but it's kind of pointless. It looks like we've got $117,000 left in there. And I would imagine getting that thing to a port to ship and shipping it here and everything will still be under that budget.
The extra in there is the equipment that goes on it. Just hadn't been drop shipped to it yet. That extra $100,000 is part of the project, but it's for the loose equipment that goes on it.
The unencumbered $117,000 that's on there.
Yeah, it just hadn't been set on there yet.
But that doesn't cover that getting that piece of apparatus from Wisconsin to Dutch Harbor.
That's already encumbered in it.
Okay. Micro turbines. I really like that project, but as time goes on and as the cost creeps up on that, there's a note on there in that that was saying was approximately a 10-year payoff at the $1.6 million price tag, and I think that project's up to a total of $2.2 million is what's budgeted. If I'm correct,
I'd have to take
which is about a 30% increase, so that means in my The math in my head, though, would be about a 30% increase in the time to pay off that, which puts that out 13 years plus or minus. What is the life cycle of those turbines? And are we going to be at that payoff point? Or are we simply just going to be turning around and rebuilding that infrastructure?
I have not done that economic analysis, but I bet you I know a guy who probably did.
We'll have to check on it, but I'm thinking maybe that added cost you're looking at is the chlorine upgrade project also, added onto the full price. The life expectancy of these turbines is about 20-25 years. That's not saying that we won't have to go into them and rebuild a gearbox or replace a impeller or something like that, but as far as the unit itself goes, it's 25 years is pretty common. So if the numbers are correct, you are correct, it'd be about 13 years payback. When this project first started, it was 7 years payback, and then the time on the project prolonged, and so of course payback increases too as that goes on. So
and please excuse the question, but just the connection between the chlorine, it was control panel stuff or electronics? Was
no, the chlorine, EPA is coming down on everybody that's using gaseous chlorine. They're doing away with it. There's only one place in the United States right now we can buy chlorine from, and I think we probably ordered our last big container that we're going to be able to order. So it's regulation, so we're going to change it all over to salt. We're going to make chlorine off from salt and do it that way instead of shipping all the chlorine in.
I guess where I was trying to go with that, and I didn't ask it very well, was the connection between the chlorine project and the microturbine project that would increase the cost on the microturbine project. Are we injecting in at a point where we're constructing on the microturbines or the piping, or is that shared electronics or electrical?
Yeah, the chlorine project was put out actually a year later than it was decided to do, but we got contractors in there now, and we came to council and asked for money to do that project along with it. I don't know if that money was added to the turbine project or not, but Tom and I will look into that. And
no, it was added to the chlorine update.
Okay, so it was added to the chlorine update. So that price probably is not included into this number. So if your number is probably correct, it's going to be 13 years payback.
Okay, thank you. And I had a bunch of other notes here. I guess Captain's Bay Road, we're going to have discussions down the road on that, and you know, having a cost-benefit analysis, I think I'll even bring even more questions. I just did want to make a comment, you know, as we move forward on these all these projects, and this is probably a question that's really early for next CMMP and budget cycle, but you know, thinking about as we move these projects, the pump station, we have the other infrastructure that we're building is down the road, is what kind of budget and how is that going to expand the city, the need for more personnel to maintain all this new infrastructure. So we'll just leave that as an open question that we'll discuss more over the next few months and year.
Councilman Nicholson?
No further questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Thank you, Tom, and appreciate the update. And as we move on these projects and we start to see the cost of material, which we're not going to be affected with within the next month or two, but in a year from now, cost of material is going to be affecting our project from then on. Thank you. That completes our work on the work session. At this time, we have a motion and a second to return to a regular session, please.
Move that we move into a regular session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Bell. Roll call, please.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roll call vote of 5-0 in favor of. We're now on regular session at 6:53 p.m. Next item 11 is the consent agenda, in which there are six items. Absent a request by a council member to move any item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda for discussion, these items will be adopted with a single vote. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the consent agenda?
Move to adopt the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, second by Councilman Tungle. We have a roll call vote. Tungle.
Yes.
Tungle. Robinson?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 5-0, these six items are approved in the consent agenda. We are now in the regular agenda. Persons wishing to speak on the regular agenda must notify the city clerk. First up on our first reading is Ordinance 2021-10, amending the fee schedule, specifying the fees and charges for services, labor, and equipment provided by the city. May I have a motion and a second to schedule Ordinance 2021-10 for public hearing and second reading on June 22nd.
Move Ordinance 2021-10 for public hearing, second reading on June 22nd.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson and second by Councilman Tungle to move Ordinance 2021-10 for public hearing on June 22nd and second reading. I'll turn it over to City Manager.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. The Clerk's Office puts this document together on an annual basis, and the changes themselves are outlined in the memo that the Clerk drafted, and the details are included in the draft document itself, which is in your packet. Staff recommends approval and supports setting the public hearing and second reading for June 22nd. I will say, if you have specific questions about some of the particular fees, the associated directors are here and available to answer questions that you might have.
Great, thank you. I'll go through our council members. Councilman Nicholson?
No questions at this time, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Councilman Bell?
I don't have any questions, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Coleman?
Thank you for the memo. that was helpful. So I don't have any other questions.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Coleman. Councilman Robinson?
Yes, thank you for that memo. It's spelled it out pretty really well. Thank you, and I appreciate that, and I have no questions.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Robinson. Councilman Tungle?
No question. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle. Our City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. This time I request a roll call vote on 2021-10.
Certainly. Bell?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
Tumble?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. On a roll call vote of 5-0 in favor of moving ordinance 2021-10 amending the fee schedule and moving to second reading on June 22nd has been approved. Our next item is 12B. Next is a resolution 2021-43, continuing measures to protect the public health. May I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2021-43, please?
Move to adopt a resolution 2021-43.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, seconded by Councilman Coleman. I'll turn this over to the city manager at this time.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. The resolution before you tonight continues the approach that Council transitioned to at the May 25th meeting, which encourages community-wide protective measures rather than mandating or requiring them. Our local case counts remain low, even though those changes were made 2 weeks ago, which is certainly good news for everyone. The state's regional alert levels are for both the Southwest region, which is us, and Anchorage region are now low. So this means that Unalaska will be able to drop down to that low local risk level pursuant to our COVID-19 response plan that we developed quite some time ago. So that's good as well. We'll include that announcement in tomorrow's regularly scheduled news release. No changes are needed as a result of that to what is before you this evening, because we've already transitioned into the recommendations rather than requirements. So this resolution itself is set to expire on June 23rd so that Council can revisit it at your June 22nd meeting. So with that, I'm happy to answer questions that you might have. And I will also say that Melanie is on the line, as is our city attorney, if there's any more detailed questions that we might need to reach out to those two for.
Okay, thank you, city manager. For council members in chambers, is there any discussion? Councilman Bell.
Quick question. Our emergency orders set to expire at the end of June. The thought was, how would that letting expire, how would that affect any federal funds or any funds that might be coming through any sources going forward? And then the other comment I'll just make is, as long as we stay at this low level, I would be in favor of going to just a monthly review of these measures. So, thank you.
Okay, so I think that first question was about the declaration of a state of emergency. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead, the mayor and Melanie and I met this morning. We meet every Tuesday morning at 8 on over the phone. But we have talked, and I've talked quite a bit about it with our team here at the city. We will be recommending an extension to the local state of emergency, primarily because we will be continuing one of our key operational response activities, which is that isolation site. So in order to really align for, that is well outside of the scope of our typical roles as a municipality. So in order to allow for staff, it's just a cleaner way to have it be that declaration be in existence so that we can reallocate some staffing and resources to support that effort. And then obviously to continue to monitor the situation and respond as needed. As far as city council resolutions with recommending community-wide protective measures. My thought at this point would be, to bring that forward at the next Tuesday or at the next council meeting. And I'm planning on making that a two-month time frame. Obviously, we could adapt if needed, if the situation changes drastically and warrants council's attention before that point. We can certainly bring that to you ahead of time. But I think it'll certainly be a different situation than it's been the past year and a half. And I think that seems like a sound and reasonable approach moving forward. And I hope that answers your question, does it?
Yes, it does. Okay. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Councilman Robinson.
Yes, thank you. You know, with a really significant number of the population that refused to get vaccinated, and with the influx of the people coming in here from the bee season, I think we need to be yes very careful. The primary reason I think we need to be careful is because we need to keep the processing plants open, and we need to help do everything we can to make that easier for them to process and not get infected, because nobody works when they get shut down. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson. Councilman Coleman.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. So I was not in attendance the last council meeting when you guys, EOC made the recommendation to change the, not keep the risk level at medium, but then you've issued recommendations on the mandates to make it a voluntary sort of thing. Those two don't jive with me. And obviously that was a discussion 2 weeks ago, and I'm not really going to talk about it now because we're going to low. That makes sense to me. I guess I look at those, that news release, that level of vulnerability, I guess, is where you're at for our citizens here. If you're going to be at a medium, then the mandates need to reflect that. And so, to me, it's an important tool. But I guess if the city comes back and then recommends, oh no, it's going to be voluntary, or we're just going to do recommendations, it doesn't work. They don't coordinate very well. They don't speak to each other. So obviously we're going to low. I think the mandates reflect that, and I think that's appropriate. So I will in agreement with this tonight. So I hope you kind of think about that. That's just my thought. I like those things to kind of coordinate, and it's a tool for me when I come up here and make decisions. So and it's an important tool, and I want to be able to rely on it in the future. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Councilman Dungal.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to thank the public for, even though it's just recommendation that we do face masks, they still walk into some establishment, even though it's not required. And putting a face mask, it makes it feel a lot safer than just roaming around, because we don't really know who got vaccinated or not. But I want to thank everybody who's been, supporting face masks, even though it's only recommended. So I thank everybody that been keeping us safe in here. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle. Councilman Nicholson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm glad to see a lot of the community and a lot of the processing plants and processing seafood places have, got vaccinated. And I think that we're moving in the right direction. And I'm kind of happy to see us moving to the low. But it's still, everybody still has to be careful, and everybody still has to do their part to keep the community safe. So, let's keep doing what we're doing. We've done a good job so far. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. And, our discussions with the EOC committee and the full EOC, which is on a monthly basis, has led us to where we are today. And I'm comfortable with the idea that we are moving too low. It is what the city of Unalaska and this community has followed mandates from other communities, primarily Anchorage and the state of Alaska, and we're moving at a little slower pace, only because we have so many people from different parts of the world coming into our community, and so we've done, and I thank the processors and their management of the virus this past year has been really, as far as I'm concerned, they've done a great job. As in regards to the emergency requirements that was talked about earlier, the quarantine site is a different issue. We discussed that, and in order to keep a space available in case there is an outbreak, we pray there isn't, but we've got to be prepared. It is also an opportunity to utilize, I believe, the funding, the city's emergency funding, if necessary, or CARES money to maintain that facility. And I'm in full support of having some sort of a facility other than shutting down processors, because they shut down, like Councilman Robinson said, we shut down businesses, we shut down basically our communities at some point. And I want to thank again everyone in the community, businesses who have cooperated with us as we tried to turn the curve back in January through August, and I believe the whole community needs a good pat on the back for getting us to where we are today. So with that, I'll thank the city manager and EOC group. And further comments? Okay, thank you. This time I'll, city clerk, anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
Thank you. I request a roll call vote on 2021-43, continuing measures to protect public health.
Certainly. Coleman?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tungle?
Yes.
Thank you. On a vote of 5-0, resolution 2021-43 has passed. Our last regular item on the agenda is a review of the liquor license renewal application submitted by Airport Restaurant and Lounge. Council staff and staff have provided a memo indicating that this business in current payment of all obligations to the city and suggesting there is no reason that the city should object to renewal of this liquor license. Given that, if the council agrees, I will suggest no motion be made to discuss this matter. Do any council members want to make a motion? Hearing none, we'll move on to Airport Restaurant and Lounge renewal application. Item 13. Next, we'll hear from persons interested in the appointment to a City Council seat D. And I believe there were three people who submitted letters of interest. Two are in chamber. One is in chamber.
I only see one, sir, Ms. Luby.
Hmm?
I only see
He's
one.
He's on the phone.
I only see one here in chambers, Ms. Luby.
Okay. We did have three applicants, and we have one applicant, Brenda Baker, withdrawn her letter of interest due to a family emergency. I'll ask you to come to the podium and use the microphone and make your statement. Then we'll give council members an opportunity to ask questions. First up is Deneen Luby.
Good evening, Mayor Tudikoff and council members. I'm here tonight and to ask for your consideration in the appointment of the City Council seat D. As you know, I've participated in all the City Council meetings over the last year. I feel like I've sat right here with you through everything. I've spoken many times, and I feel that my involvement has made me a good candidate for the appointment. I've gone through the budget process with you, the CMMPs, the community grant programs, the geothermal project, the trilateral agreement, the IRT visit, the joint trenching project, the tobacco excise tax, enhanced 911, public comment policy, the terminal service agreements, electric, water, wastewater, and solid waste programs, and the deficit with those programs. I could go on with a lot more, but I think it kind of makes the point that I'm up on the current affairs of the city. I'm also a 30-plus year resident, lived here for a very long time and seen a lot of changes to the city, a lot of good improvements. I'd probably say the best one was paved roads. I've raised my family here in Unalaska, and my grandchildren are now being raised here, so I have a very, you know, vested interest in this community, and I love it. My husband and I have sailed around the world and never found any place better than right here, so we came home. A lot of people said, why did you come home? Anyway, so I also own property in the community, and I have two businesses that I run. And so I feel like I'm a pretty good candidate to, you know, assist the community and try to keep our costs down. And I think I just appreciate any consideration you guys would have for the appointment to the city council. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Denise. Now we go down the list here of our council members. They may or may not have a question, but I appreciate your comments, your statements.
Thank you.
I'll start with Councilman Tungle.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I always welcome people who want to serve this community, and I've known you for a long time. I know you. I think you'll be best fit on this seat. I'll be supporting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle. Councilman Coleman?
Thank you. Can you tell me, like, any current or previous community organizations or civic groups that you've been involved with?
Yeah, actually, I've been involved with a few of them. Most recently, I was elected president of the Unalaska Senior Citizens Board, and I've been involved with the senior citizens for a couple of years now. Started out with bookkeeping and helping them get their finances in order, and also writing their grants for them, for the state grant and as well as the city grant. I've assisted the a couple other nonprofits here in town with bookkeeping services and, you know, getting theirs. One of them, I actually helped them get their nonprofit status back, working with the IRS on the application to get that back for them. So that's about it, I guess.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Councilman Robinson.
Thank you. I, for one, have noticed your presence on the City Council the past year, and I notice your presence in the council chambers now. I am not going to ask you any questions. I think I know you very well, and I think you will do a very good job. I will not consider people that haven't showed up to speak and show their interest in the job. The letter was not enough. If they're not here to be able to ask any questions, I'm ready to move to appoint you. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson. Councilman Bell.
I don't really have any questions either. The usual questions are, do you own property, and you know, how long have you lived here? And those are obviously all answered. I'll give you just one of my observations, and just being on the council for the short time I have, is that, you know, there was more, there's a lot of financial stuff that is dealt with on here, and being a bookkeeper, I think you're well suited for what lies ahead. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Nicholson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I personally feel that Deneen is one of the best people qualified for this position. She's always been involved with a lot of the meetings, and she's got my vote.
Thank you, Councilman
thank you.
Nicholson. Okay, well, I didn't have any real questions. You answered all of my questions, and I appreciate your wanting to serve the community, and I think that's a good thing, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. I agree.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 2021-44.
No, you're out of order. Yep. I've got to at least call their name. All right. Thank you. Next, I've got James Matthew Morrison. He's absent. I guess we'll, and I did announce earlier that Brenda Baker was withdrew her letter of interest due to family emergency. Therefore, now I'll take a resolution. It jumped on me there, so go ahead, Councilman Robinson.
Make that motion to adopt resolution 2021-44.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, seconded by Councilman Tungle to adopt resolution 2021-44, appointing a member to the City Council seat CCD.
This time I can make a motion to amend resolution 2021-44, inserting the name of Deneen Luby.
Moved by Councilman Bell to amend, seconded by Councilman Coleman to amend the, to insert the name for resolution 2021-44 of Deneen Luby to seat D. Roll call vote on the amendment.
Certainly, sir. Bell?
Yes.
Ullman?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tungle?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. On a 5-0 vote in favor of amending the motion to insert the name of Deneen Luby to a council seat CD has passed. Now to the main motion, 2021-44. We have a roll call.
Certainly, Bell?
Yes.
Ullman?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
And Tungle?
Yes.
On a vote of 5-0, resolution 2021-44 has passed, and with that, Deneen Luby, you are the new
welcome
council
aboard.
Going to do the swearing in.
All right, Ms. Luby, we'll swear you in now. If you'd like to stand right here. And just like we did with Officer Chapman, we'll do a repeat after me. Can you raise your right hand? Sorry, give you three things to hold there. I, Deneen Luby, do solemnly swear that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform.
I do solemnly swear that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform.
The duties of a member of the City Council of the City of Unalaska. In true accord with the Constitution of the United States of America.
In true accord with the Constitution of the United States of America.
The laws of the State of Alaska.
The laws of the State of Alaska.
And the Code of Ordinances of the City of Unalaska.
And the Code of Ordinances of the City of Alaska.
I take this oath freely, without the least equivocation.
I take this oath freely, without the least equivocation.
Mental reservation or self-evasion of mind whatsoever. Thank you very much.
Well, welcome to the City Council, City of Unalaska. Let's see. Just take. We'll wait for a minute. We'll wait for a minute here. Yes, you get to sit on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
Come on up here. Okay, welcome to the City Council of Unalaska. At this time, item 14 is a council directives to city manager. Are there any directives? Hearing none, I'll move to item number 15, community input and announcement. Last chance for folks provided information to the council or make announcements of interest to the community. Does anyone present wish to speak? Okay, all right, thank you. Are there any on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. There is no executive session items for discussion, so I'll move on and I'll go to item 17. Having completed all items on the agenda, this meeting is adjourned at 7:21 p.m. Good evening, Unalaska.